Steady as She Rose, a podcast about creating authentic online business empires using feminine flow. We're ditching the demanding hustle and replacing it with integrity-infused, juicy, feminine energy that effortlessly attracts our dreamiest clients. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Natalie, and I am an online business coach specifically focused on wealth mindset and feminine business approach. And today we are talking about how money is medicine. So let's take it way back, like way back to when we were little kids and we would watch cartoons or movies about, you know, villains and heroes and all that great stuff. Can you remember watching one movie where there was just a person, like, let's say a woman, a regular woman who was just like living her life, doing well with her and her family, and she just happened to have a lot of money? Okay, just like normal person otherwise, like not superhero, not super villain, just like average person. And she just happened to have a lot of money that she worked for. Can you remember anything like that? Because I certainly cannot. That was something, I mean, I guess it's not like the flashiest story that would be really intriguing for people to see and hear about. So maybe that's why I never saw it depicted. But I feel like specifically, like when I would watch movies as a kid like that, I would always see the villains as the one to have a crap ton of money. And I feel like that in a lot of ways is really what shaped my mindset around wealth growing up. And I felt like being wealthy was like, ew, yucky. Like I didn't want to be that because I associated it with being all these terrible things, like selfish, self-centered, like not willing to help people. And I saw on the opposite end of the spectrum, I saw the heroes in movies like that be the exact opposite, like selfless, always willing to lend a hand, you know, just like good people. And I think that that's why I spent a lot of years like thinking that that was the correct way to live life, was just like a very modest lifestyle and like not wanting anything else, I guess. And it took me until like past like adulthood, like I was years into adulthood before I kind of was like, wait a second, like that's not all people though, that there are a lot of people out there who make a lot of money, like a lot of women out there who make a lot of money, who are incredible people, like wonderful women. And I just think that that's the story that no one really tells. And that's the one that I'm most interested in because, and I'm sure many other people are as well, because that's the story that can be very common if we continue to empower women from the time that they're little girls watching those movies. And on top of that, wealth in general, like having a lot of money, is always either shown, it's shown one of two ways. It's shown as either being like family money, so like quote unquote old money. Either you're that, so like you come from money and so you just automatically have a lot of money because you've inherited it, which is like, you know, there's a whole nother stigma that goes along with that. It's either shown as that or it's shown as what people call quote unquote new money, which is something that you have to like hustle your butt off for, okay? It's shown with a huge amount of hustle. And like, I'm not saying that that is fully inaccurate. I'm saying like, yes, you do have to work if you want to be someone who attains a lot of material wealth in your lifetime. Yes, you're going to need to work for it, especially if you're starting from zero or like a low amount. You're going to have to like understand how to get from point A to point B 100%. But what I am saying is that there comes a point where you also need to figure out how to build wealth without killing your soul. Okay, just let that sink in for a second. You need to figure out how you can build wealth without hustling yourself to death and just like killing your soul. Okay, because you should be doing your soul's work. I call it your soul's work to make a crap ton of money. But if it feels hard, if it feels unpleasant, then maybe it's not what you're supposed to be doing. So I saw something the other day on someone else's podcast, and they were talking about how, I forget what it's called, but there's a certain part of your brain where anytime that you do something that is hard, it's like something that you should do, but you don't necessarily want to do it, so it's hard. Anytime that you do something like that, it like extends your lifespan. And that was very interesting to me. And so I'm not saying don't do hard things. I'm just saying you shouldn't try to force yourself into a box that you can feel in your gut that you're not meant to be doing. And just going back to the whole concept that money is medicine, like just listen to that phrase for a second and just really let it sink in. Money is medicine. And I feel like, you know, if you're like me and you came from a situation where your household really struggled with finances, then I think that, you know, thinking about money as a positive thing, it's funny because thinking about it as a positive thing is so difficult to swallow. However, money is the thing that could have helped you the most and helped your family the most when you were growing up. But for some reason, you never saw it as a positive thing. You always saw it as this negative because you never had any. And so just shifting that perspective into a completely different realm of, okay, like I know who I am as a person and I am not a bad person. Money magnifies whoever you are in your soul. Okay. So if you, you know, if you have issues and you're like not a great person, like you're a selfish person, you're a greedy person, like you're going to be that way whether or not you have money. Okay. That's not going to make a difference. Now, if you get money, then it's probably, yes, it's going to magnify it and people are probably going to see it even more visibly. But the same goes for the opposite. If you are truly a great, kind, giving person, people are going to see that magnified. When you get money, when you make money, when you start having all these payments like roll into your business, that's what's going to happen. And another thing, as a small business owner, you know, if you are also an entrepreneur or a small business owner, I'm sure you can 100% relate that, especially when you're in the online or services space, it's really, really difficult to decide what you're going to charge for your digital products and or your services. Like if you provide a service to somebody, and, you know, especially I'm an online business coach. And so with coaching, it's, you know, you can look and compare your pricing to other online business coaches, but it's just so difficult to pull that trigger and say, I'm going to charge, you know, X amount per coaching client. Like, you know, and it's just so hard because it's something that you were not necessarily, I'm sure some people were, but I was not taught growing up that this career, this business was even a possibility for me. You know, I was basically taught that it was worthless, that it's not a sure thing, that, which, you know, in all reality, nothing is a sure thing. Let's be honest. But I was taught that it, you know, going into business for myself in this type of space was so risky because there was no guarantee. And what I've come to realize is that there's no guarantee regardless, like no matter what, but at least this way, I'm doing something that I feel as though I was meant to be doing my whole life. And at least this way, I have control over things like my finances, like my schedule, like my time freedom, you know? And so that's why it's extremely valuable to me to be in this space. But I will say that like whenever I go to price something, so like after I've created a program, after I've created a digital course, anything like that, whenever I go to price it, I have really intense imposter syndrome. And I think the reason that I have that is because of all these thoughts in the back of my head that are just swirling around from my childhood, you know, of this image of someone who, like, if you want to charge a lot of money for something, you better be hustling your ass off. And yes, like I still work hard and I definitely bring value to my clients, but it's not like physical labor, I guess. Like it's not something that I look at and that it's not something that I cringe when I'm doing. And this idea that something has to be hard in order for you to be able to charge a lot for it, like basically like I did the really, really difficult work for my clients, and so now I can charge them to, you know, gain my knowledge. That's crazy. That is so crazy to me. I mean, you know, in a sense, yes, I did do the hard work. Like I learned all of these things, and throughout my life's knowledge, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I am supposed to combine all of those amazing things into an offer suite for my clients and my audience. So the fact that you're getting it all packaged up and wrapped with a little bow instead of having to go out like rooting and hunting for it on Google, yes, like that is hard work for sure. But the idea that you have to be, I guess struggling is the word that I'm looking for. The idea that you have to be struggling in order to like justify the prices that you're charging is crazy. That's crazy to me because that's not what this is about. This is about people sharing their knowledge, their like unique knowledge and their unique like superpower with other people. Because a lot of the things that I do in my business, some other people look at those things and they're like, wow, how in the world do you do that? Like, how do you just see things like that and just immediately know what people need, you know? And that's all I can say is like, it's my superpower. This is just how my brain works. This is what I do best, absolutely best. And on the flip side, that person could know how to do something completely different and I might not know anything about it. And then they teach me something. So that's their superpower. So every woman has their own unique superpower, whatever that is. And they just need to figure out what it is, number one, and then they need to decide how they want to use it because some superpowers are a little bit like higher level than others, like I guess more vague than others. Like some people have very specific superpowers, like they're amazing at baking, for example. I know one or two people where like they're just like insanely good at baking baked goods. And you know, one of those people has, she runs her own business that's a baking business. It's like a little bakery and she's amazing at it. She's incredible. I could never do what she does. And because I wasn't supposed to be doing what she does because she's amazing at it and I just eat the products. So that's a very specific superpower. A more vague superpower is kind of like mine, like noticing efficiencies is a really big one. And that's one that I know a couple people that are like this and they apply it to different topics in their life. So for example, like at all of the corporate jobs, all the 9-to-5 jobs that I've ever worked at, I get promoted really, really quickly because, and like through multiple positions, because I'm really, really good at noticing inefficiencies and immediately like issuing a fix. Like I'm really good at, if I notice something that I feel like there's got to be a better way to do this, then I'm really good at kind of digging in and just being willing to learn more about that process and the ins and the outs of it, of how it functions so that I can make recommendations for, oh, you know how you did it this way? Well, what if you just did it this way? And then you could like bypass these other three steps and it would be like an hour faster. So that is something that I have applied to multiple different areas of my life. And then I found coaching and I was like, yep, that's it. That is my calling 100%. That is what I feel as though I'm meant to be doing because then I'm not, you know, I'm not showing a corporation where their inefficiencies are and like helping them fix them. I'm showing people and women specifically, like, okay, you know that thing that you're doing? Well, you're amazing at it, but like you could be doing it so much better. And like, here's how, you know? And then if you do it like that, you're going to make like 5 times more money. Okay. So that is something that I really love to do. And that's my superpower. And I just feel like it's so important for women to just share their superpowers with each other, because that's the only way that we're ever going to like reach our life's potential, in my opinion. I think that for a long time, especially, you know, going back to the concept of like wealth and being wealthy and money is medicine, society has made women feel like there can only be, you know, one woman on the top. There can only be one woman who is like a CEO, and she has to be the most like ruthless, powerful woman out there. And the truth of the matter is like, that's BS. That is a gimmick. And it's just a lie. It's a lie. There are so many women out there who are amazing at so many different things, but they just lack the confidence in themselves to just kind of step up and tell the world like, hey, I'm really good at this thing. And like, I can make money doing this, actually. And I can charge people like a service fee to help them to do exactly what I'm doing, because they just have difficulty figuring it out on their own. And so I'm going to help them because I'm so good at it. And that's what we need to be doing as strong women in our society. We need to be open and willing to lift each other up and help each other, because we don't need to be pinned against one another. That is like the silliest concept in my mind. And that's what we were made to do our entire life, was to see other women as a threat, to see other women as competition, and immediately just try to like outrank them, basically. And like, holy cow, like what a brainwashing trip. Because that is just totally like not what needs to happen. The exact opposite needs to happen, actually. And I think that if the exact opposite happens, then that is where we make the most massive impact. And that is where the magic happens.